Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, welcome back and Happy New Year. You've obviously survived the turning of the year, or the rollover, whatever you want to call it, because if you're listening to this show, that means you're not in the hospital or you're not in the morgue. And so let me as I promised, I'm going to get into how to kind of set effective goals for oneself, because this is one of the things they don't teach in school. And they really don't give, success motivation organizations and self-improvement organizations make a lot of money, so they don't allow it to be taught in school. I don't know. But this is a perfect or more apropos time to go through this, because what do people do on New Year's? They try to set resolutions, try to have goals and improve their outcome, their position and their disposition in life. And so what we're going to do is go through that process. But before we do, let me go through the process that I always go through, because instead of just being sponsored, this show is not just sponsored by MobiusStripPress.com, which is where you can find my books. And as I said yesterday, and I might as well plug it again, just because everybody else seems to be able to do the self shameless plugs for their own books and so forth. And so you see it on TV all the time. I tell you, as soon as you get a gig on TV, you got to write a book so you can sell a lot of and make lots of personal money, leveraging your position. But this is not about me making money. This is about actually infusing money into what we need to do. The traveling that I need to do, because I can't afford to subsidize this. So if you're looking for a good book to read, I can promise you that I will challenge most all of your paradigms from science, history, and everything else, and what you understand regarding our government and Constitution. But anyway, let me move forward. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We're also sponsored by 1798part2.org and RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that actually provides a tangible solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. There's no other show that actually has a end-all solution of curing our problem with federal tyranny. And I can honestly tell you that as you investigate all of this, you'll realize that even though I have a legal copyright and it can't be challenged in court, I mean, there's just no way anybody can come forward with being able to claim they've had this idea before me, other than the actual origins. But back in the actual origins, there were no such things as copyrights. And so anyway, as you explore this, you'll realize that this really isn't about me. This is all about saving our Constitution. Those copyrights are literally just to keep those who have money from being able to buy this up and drag this into court and be able to assert, oh, these are my ideas, which is nonsense. And so anyway, let me move forward. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK, T-O-P-T-A-L-K. Yeah, just read the numbers one more time. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just want to let you know that if you have not had a chance, start your year off watching that 30 minutes of the video on the ReclaimingTheRepublic.org website. It's on the Take Action page. And if you go to that page, you can actually find the video right underneath the sets of slides that I use. And as I say, you know, if you're going to have a post New Year's party or what have you, maybe you can share that. If you're going to literally, if you participate in patriotic organizations or what have you, you're more than welcome to show that to your group. I don't care if you charge for it. I really don't. I just want people to start understanding what we need to do on that particular video, by the way. I don't care if you charge, you know, and have people come, hey, well, let's watch G.R. Mobley. But if you really make it a commercial endeavor, then I'll have to get involved because we could really use the money if you're successful in that commercial endeavor. Anyway, I would ask that you familiarize yourself by going to that video and watching that, and then going to reclaimingtherepublic.org homepage, and then you can get into all of the other details regarding the academic argument, regarding the details of the auditing process and Republic Review, as well as the flow chart. It is all there, free of charge. You don't necessarily have to buy my books. It's far more important that you get smart and you get involved. And there's different ways you can get involved. And I will state this right up front that listening to the show is one way, and getting other people attuned to listening to the show so that they can learn that the Constitution isn't some noble guide of governance or some edifice that, you know, that came forth in ancient days and is just a relic. No, it's a contract. And actually, technically, it's a compact because there are multiple parties to it. And therefore, because it is a contract, those stakeholders, the states, have the due authority and the right and responsibility of holding the subcontractor, the federal government, accountable to those things that have been delegated, and only those things, and anything that they drift away from or assume without the permission of the stakeholders, they are in violation and are breaching that compact. And so people will start learning this. They'll start understanding this. I will also tell you that if you don't have money, because we do have a crowdfunding web or campaign on the GoFundMe website, just look for Reclaiming the Republic. By all means, if you want to contribute, I would humbly accept your contributions. We are still trying to make up money for what we ended up spending in November going to Wyoming. And we're hoping to go to Wyoming in about 2 weeks. So if you can afford to send some money, then by all means, go to GoFundMe and get some money in there so that we can, you know, reap those benefits, those blessings from you, and be able to help Wyoming directly in getting them organized so that they can be the first state to start saving our Constitution and our Republic. But if you don't have money and you have time and you have a computer, by all means, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will work with you in getting you set up, started, and doing research and working with other good people in your state or county or what have you. And or you can also go sign up with the constitutionclub.ning.com and work with those good folks there, Keith Broders and Mort and so forth, and help them start educating folks regarding the recension of the 17th Amendment and so forth. I will also tell you that in doing these things, if you get involved this year, if you make this year the year that you're finally going to put your foot down, because do you really think that we're going to be able to make America great again? Do you think the president has the authority in the Constitution to make America great again? The only way we're going to make America great again is getting the government out of our business. Because until we do that, They're holding all of the guns and bullets, and they're pointing them at us, and we don't even know it. And so what we need is we need you to change your resolve in becoming, instead of being maybe passive or quasi-active, we need you hardcore active. We want to make activists out of you. And so again, thank you for tuning in. And as I always say, when I checked the news, And, you know, there is some crazy news out there, and I'm not going to go through hardly much or much of it, or if any of the craziness. But I will say this, that there is no sign. And if you're expecting to see a sign that the government is just going to disband and decommission unconstitutional governments and things that they're doing that is literally tyranny as they have assumed roles and responsibilities that belong to the states, you're not going to see that. I look every day in the news and there has not been, nor will there ever be any news. And even if there is, I will tell you that down the road, because it is an unconstitutional thing and they're doing it unconstitutionally, even disbanding it, the only way this can be constitutionally done is that for the states to step up and put their foot down. Even if the federal government disbands the Department of Education, the next president can come along and say, you know what, we need to do this and literally violate the Constitution once again in recreating the Department of Education. So if we want to solve these problems, we have to get the states to do that. And that's why I need your help. That's how we'll reclaim the republic. And so in my parting shot, before we go into the hard break, because we're seconds away from that, I'm not sure if you know, but the New Year's happens to be the birthday of the internet. And that particular year of birth was 1983, when in government labs, they were able to create the basic protocols for the internet. And so with that, you know, have another toast if you still have some wine or juice or milk sitting around. Drink to the internet today, and we will be right back after break from our sponsors. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so instead of going through some of the news, what I am going to do is actually share some news. I don't know if you heard, this is just too funny. Every time I drive along the freeway, I have to, kind of make a joke out of this. I would probably say you know, whenever you see a bunch of cops on the side of the road or the side of the freeway, they're all kind of looking down and working on some accident that's off the road, out of view. And you see just so many cops, you know, the joke I always say is, well, the donut truck must have gone off the road. So anyway, if you haven't seen this, there is a viral picture of some cops that seem to be crying and mourning over the loss of a truckload of Krispy Kreme donuts. And so I'm sorry. It's just one of those things that you never think you'd actually see. But it's always the funny thing to say. But anyway, I figured I got to share that with you. So this New Year's is at least starting off with a little bit of levity, right? Let me get into creating effective objectives or creating effective goals. I don't know if you have a long-term goal, but do you have, I just like calling it your ultimate goal. And you can have more than one ultimate goal. They usually would be in different types of categories of your life, right? Employment, education, family, experience, community, society, what have you. And you can have, you know, multiple, like I said, ultimate goals. If you have any desires, then I would probably just say, well, how do you articulate that into an ultimate goal? Do you want to become a baron of industry or a captain of finance or what have you? Do you want to be an educator? Do you want to be a doctor, a professor, or what have you, right? And so whatever your ultimate goals are, focus on one of them for right now and sit down and figure out where you want to end up in this facet of your life. Again, it could be employment, education, experience, family, community, society, what have you. And so this is for you to do. This is for what you really want. If you really want to obtain things that you really want, these desires that you have, then you have to start planning. The old cliche, right, is failing to plan is planning to fail. And so once you kind of understand what it is you want to end up in, again, it could be the president of a company, the owner of a company, a doctor in education, a doctor in science, a subject matter expert, or a journeyman with experience. Or do you want to get married? Do you want to marry that, you know, the perfect mate and be a parent, grandparent, have a big family, have lots of grandchildren? Do you want to be a volunteer, a politician, a statesman? Where is it that you want to end up? What is that pinnacle in that part of and facet of your life that you want to end up at? Do you want to be at the top? Do you just want to be kind of, there are people, believe me, there are people that do not want to be a leader. There are people that do not want to be, up high in management. They just enjoy doing the work. That's all they want to do. And if you're a person like me, you just have a hard time understanding people like that. But there are people that are like that. I got in trouble once by telling people that, is this what you want to do the rest of your life? And some of those people actually wanted to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, like I said, it's hard for me. And I actually had to apologize to some of those folks because I told them honestly, I said, it is hard for me to understand how somebody can find solace and gratification and happiness in just doing the work day in, day out. And in some respects, some of these people just find a security that they know that if they, do their job and they're good at what they do, then they have, a good firm grip of their job. People that take risks, people that take, want to be a leader and literally have to, take risks in leading in a company or whatever it is you're doing. And those are some of the things I had to do. I had to take risks. And when you do that, you could lose your job pretty easily. Fortunately, I never lost my job. And fortunately, I was good at mitigating risks. but you have to learn how to do those things. And so whatever it is you believe it, you know, you want to achieve as your ultimate goal, then you have to start understanding what are the steps or the midterm goals you need to reach your ultimate goal. Okay, so if you understand these midterm steps, there's a term for them. They're called strategic goals. Okay, a strategic goal is a long-term goal. It's not something you're going to obtain today, but a strategic goal is something that you have to, you know, that you got to do. This is the first strategic step. And let's just use education for a good example. If you want to become a PhD, a leader in thought, in academia or what have you, and, you know, get government grants in mathematics or in science or archaeology or whatever it is, and that's the pursuit you want to go down, then there are strategic goals that you need to set that will allow you to become successful in doing that. And some strategic goals would be easily getting your bachelor's degree. If you've got your bachelor's degree, then the next step would be your master's degree. Where do you go for that? Your next step would be your PhD, of course, your thesis, and then obtaining grants or whatever. Now, this can apply to, you know, technical skills as well, business management, and even marriage. Now, let's take a turn here and get away from, you know, academia, work, and so forth. And how do we put this into a family perspective? If you are, you know, if you're not married, and, you know, if you are, this may be good advice. If that marriage doesn't work out, and I don't want to say that, but if you are not married, if you're in pursuit of having a family, and so if you're young and you're, you know, just getting started, then where is it that you want to meet your mate? And I would highly suggest that your mate, whether that be husband or wife, would be somebody that is, you know, one aligned with you. And I have always found that the worst place to find somebody would be in a bar, you know, looking for a good time, you know, looking for a, you know, a buzz, a fulfillment, you know, a temporary fulfillment in life. That is the literally probably the worst place, because there's less chance that you will, you know, find things that you mesh with. Some of the best places would be in your church. Another best place would be somebody that is pursuing bettering themselves, like going to school, education, in college, or what have you. There's lots of people that may meet, they're at school and they meet at a party or what have you, but they're in the school process. They're, you know, a church party or what have you, because it's in the social sphere, not in the necessary worship or in the confessional and those types of places that you would lend to meeting and having a social relationship with other people, the opposite sex specifically. But anywho, the looking for somebody in a condition or in a place where they are in the process of bettering themselves, then you have a really good chance of having a lot of commonalities. Having commonalities is good. Differences, you know, sometimes attract, but and opposites and so forth. But I'm telling you, having commonalities is important. Because if you are, you know, if it's only a religious thing, but you don't like the same kind of music, you don't like the same kind of art, you don't like the same kind of entertainment, you know, then there's a lot of things that you have to either learn to overcome and grow together. And that takes a lot of work and effort. But 9 times out of 10, there's a good likelihood that if you're both bettering yourself and you're both doing in the same kind of pursuits and so forth, then there's probably a better likelihood that there are those alignments in those types of things. Anyway, before I run out of time here, I don't want to, you know, completely get sucked into, you know, how to have a perfect marriage, but I will tell you that you want to make sure as you're, you know, interviewing the resumes of those who you're dating in college or at church or what have you, make sure that you actually have those commonalities because those are footings that you build upon. And it's the same thing with education. As you start taking classes, you don't want to just willy-nilly take classes. You understand what you need to take to get a very particular degree, and the schools kind of make it easy for you. But if you're looking to go into and create a hybrid type of specialty where you're bringing in specific types of sciences with computer sciences and so forth, then, you know, you have to kind of figure out those types of courses and the types of degrees that you need to get into this new unique niche within academia, science, and so forth. But anyway, so let me move on. The bottom line is, if you understand what your ultimate goal is, you should be setting strategic goals that are the big leaps that you need to make that take a lot of time. In other words, 4 years, 5 years, maybe 8 years, or what have you. And sometimes the time it takes in doing that may have a lot to do with your availability. Maybe you don't have the money for schooling, so you have to stretch that out a lot instead of taking on debt. That would be the smart way of doing it. I'm out of time, and I will bring more to you on how to set effective goals as soon as we come back from the break. So I'll be right back. Thank you very much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let me kind of put it in a metaphorical space for you. If you understand what your ultimate goal is, whatever that is, that should be, and you should view that as the top of a mountain, like Mount Everest, climbing Mount Everest. And so you have to understand that you have to get to a point where you have a base camp, and that base camp may be actually getting the job within a particular sphere, field, or what have you. That would be your first strategic goal, getting to the base camp. Your next strategic goal would be getting to a particular ridge or what have you. And that's what strategic goals are. The tactical goals is how do you get to and accomplish that next strategic goal. Okay, so now you kind of understand that here is a goal. Here's this, you know, ultimate thing that you want to do. And so you now have to, you know, create this strategic plan of I need to be here, and then I need to get to here, and I need to get to here, which will then lend me to obtaining my ultimate goal, right? Okay, so moving forward, and let's say, because I think more people are more interested in being successful in their careers, so I'm going to probably dedicate most of the rest of the time towards the types of work in your career path, because a lot of people want to work their way up in a particular discipline or a business and or something. And so some of those strategic goals may be obtaining positions. You know, you get your job as an engineer, you get your job as whatever that position is, and so you're doing the basic work. Well, there are different positions, and let's say you want to become a director, let's say you want to become a fellow, or a president, vice president of the company. And so you want to get into executive leadership. And so you have to start assuming the types of positions that would lend to that. If you want to go down the path of a fellow program in engineering, then you need to maintain a focus on the technical aspects of your career and the things that that engineering company does. That way, you know, as you, you know, get your software, if maybe you start off with software engineering or systems engineering, hardware engineering, network engineering, whatever, you have to start broadening your scope beyond just that particular discipline. Now, there are lots of people that don't want to go down that path of becoming a fellow in broadening themselves. They want to be a subject matter expert because they just love networking. They just love software. They love this particular thing that they're doing. So then maybe your goal is to become a subject matter expert. So you still have to start looking at the different positions that lead to that. Some of those things can be a technical lead. If you want to go down executive management, executive leadership, then you need to become a functional supervisor. And that's where you manage people. You want to become a section head. You want to do engineering lead. You want to get into program management. You want to become an architectural lead and or into work proposals, those types of positions that give you a breadth of experience and understanding and skills to help you lead yourself towards that fellowship or that executive position. So what are the steps or short-term goals you need to set to reach your midterm goals to help you get to that ultimate goal? Some of it may be education, additional education, training for core competencies. There are usually in an engineering field or within any type of career path, there are typical core competencies that people need to understand. So you may need technical training. You may not have to go back to academia. You may want to actually go and take some very specific courses from a technical school or from a college of taking additional courses that you did not get within your degree. You may need technical certifications. So like I said, if you want to become a certified network engineer for Cisco, a CCNE, then you need to get some certifications, a CCNA, a CCNP, and then get to your CCNE. So there are technical certifications that you want to get to so that you can become an architectural guru in networking or whatever it is. There could also be education. And I bring this up because I've had people work for me that did not have a bachelor's degree, but they had certifications and they were very good technically because I was in systems engineering. And because they were really good technically at doing networking or hardware, you know, engineering or what have you, or integration, systems administration, that type of stuff, that these folks, the thing that they needed was actually to get a bachelor's degree. And so that was a big strategic goal so that they can continue moving up within the company or within the discipline as a whole so that they could jump and leap into, you know, a different company or what have you. If you want to get into management, you have to start learning and becoming more involved with processes. You have to start embracing the processes. You have to start seeking more responsibilities as well. You may want to become, again, like I said, a project lead, team lead, area lead, technical lead, functional lead, those types of things, because management wants to see leadership. On the technical side, you know, you may end up obtaining leadership, but that's only because you become the real guru, the guy that's making things happen and making things work. They bring you in and they use you as a technical type of lead. When you get into and you want to get down this path of executive leadership, one of the things that you have not gotten in school is really good management slash and or really leadership. What is the difference? I'm going to take a divergent here. Go on a tangent. What is the difference between a manager and a leader? Well, technically, everybody's a manager. If you are driving on the road, if you happen to have to drive to work, then you have to manage the entire commute from getting to point A to point B. You have to make decisions if you have to reroute because of traffic or what have you. Or, you know, the negotiating the lights and you know, dealing with other drivers. That is the management process because you are basically doing what you need to do to get the job done, to get to work. Managers get things done right. A leader is a person that recognizes when something is really wrong, they step up and they do the right thing. A manager follows the processes, he follows the book, and he says, hey, you know, let's see if we can improve the processes, and they work within the process improvement process, whether that be, you know, Fagan inspections or what have you, to identify how they can improve efficiencies and so forth. That's what managers do. Leaders actually challenge paradigms. Leaders actually challenge the status quo. They challenge the norm. And so getting back onto track and helping you kind of differentiate between leadership and management, if you want to get into executive leadership, then you need to start reading books and you need to start trying to seek educational opportunities in leading. Some schools actually do provide some courses. There is really no good qualified, I should say, educational course, but other than that of a career. I will stand to tell you that I believe that when I look, and I've got a huge bias on this, when I look at real leadership, I find that the military, and more specifically the Marine Corps, really makes people, you know, think and have to do the right thing. You're constantly being challenged and you're constantly having to make decisions that really affect lives. And there's probably no greater decisions that you can make than when it comes down to saving lives and or to save a life. And then sometimes there's no greater decision that you have to take in taking lives to save lives, because in fighting war, you know, it's not about, you know, feeding people. It's about killing people, right? So anyway, if you understand what the steps are that you need to obtain these these short-term or strategic goals, then you can start understanding what your tactical goals are. And some of those things, again, putting them into a tactical space would be actually developing. So a tactical goal, my friends, is something that you do in a year or a couple of months or a couple of weeks or what have you. Some of those things may be literally developing core competency skills. Where do you fall in your current, if you're a labor grade or what have you, where do you fall in your position, and are you pushing yourself in core competencies to the next level? What is it you need to know or understand, whether that be hardware, networking, systems, software, security, administration, or even some of the mundane tasks? And I don't know what those things might be within your particular field, but you should have a good grasp on those things. If it's in education, it's literally classes, it's getting good grades and those types of things. And classes take a few months to do. So they're short term. They're something that you can literally knock off and accomplish in a year. And so you should have yearly goals that you establish that are developing both educational core competency skills and those types of things to help you in your career path. Now, going back to marriage real quick, there is really nothing that you can really obtain other than, you know, actually watching, going to marriage counseling, even if you don't need it, learning and understanding how to work together and how to make the politics of marriage work. Because if you're, I'm telling you, Aristotle says there's politics in everything in life. There is politics in marriage because it is the art of compromise. And so, anyway, when we get back, I will be getting back into how to create effective goals. So I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
I just realized I'm not going to be able to finish this, so we'll have to carry this over to tomorrow as well if you're interested in creating good, effective goals. Again, getting back to the nutshell, the type of short-term goals, these are strategic goals that you have to first map out. What is the next level you need to get to that ultimate goal? Some of these things may be a educational type of goal. Some of these things may be, or your next strategic level may be a management type of goal or position. Or you know, it could be a core competency down that technical path. Either way, you have to figure out what those things are that may be a couple of years out, 4 or 5 years out. That's a strategic goal. Now, the next thing you have to do is you have to start assessing your attributes. And this is something you have to really start focusing on a day, or not a daily, but a monthly and or yearly. These are tactical things. And what are your attributes? This is where we determine how productive you are compared to those people that you are compared to. Your skills. Do you have the same amount of skills? What is your versatility? And versatility, by the way, isn't whether you can do lots of different things. Versatility is also, are you willing to do something you've never done before? And so willingness is a big part of versatility. How's your communications? These are attributes that are very important. Do you communicate well with others? Do you listen well? Do you give instructions? Do you write those types of things well? How is your cooperation and teamwork? How are you in the process improvement? And so these are the basic skills that are within employment space that are probably pretty critical almost in everything. Even if you're a framer, even if you're in construction and you build houses, you know, how well are you in productivity? Do you get walls up? Can you hang, ceilings, or, you know, can you put up a roof faster than those other people that you work with? Are your technical skills, the quality of the work, is that up to snuff? Are you doing better than everybody else? If not, then you need to start setting your tactical goals, some of your tactical goals, in improving those things so that you start actually competing and actually outperforming your fellow employees. Because it isn't about, you know, you're entitled to a job and regardless of how bad you do, you're entitled to that pay. What you want is you want to earn more money. And the way to do that is by merit, by you working and so forth. So another thing that you need to also consider in your tactical goals for maintaining employment on a yearly basis is you want to make sure that you, and I call these things trickle-down objectives, your employer has objectives. They want to get so many houses done. Let's say they want to, you know, instead of doing four houses this year, they want to do five. Or let's say in engineering space, they want to be able to start implementing new technologies, Hadoop or what have you, virtualization, whatever those things are. They, you know, AWS, they want you to get very attuned and familiar and solid in new technologies. Well, okay, so the company is going down that path, that direction. You need to, one, be aware of what those goals are that the company or your employer has so that you can incorporate in your tactical goals for a yearly basis those things that you need to do to help meet the company objectives or your employer's objectives. And in doing that, you create value to your employer, to your manager, and so forth. Now, in companies, in large companies, they have business unit objectives and they have, these corporate level objectives and so forth. And so they always work down from the high up. We're going to be doing this and it just comes down. And so that's why I call those trickle down objectives, because some of those things actually shake out and will have an effect in your workplace. Some of them are engineering objectives. Some of them may be, sector objectives. Some of them may be program objectives and or group objectives. So you need to figure out how managers and how your leaders are differentiating. If you're in a very large company, a global company like I was, then you need to understand how those things are shaking out as they trickle down through the leadership and hierarchy as it comes down into your program, your group, and so forth. And then you start setting goals. And again, you need to start setting goals based upon your core competencies as well as your, what did we call those before? They're called attributes, right? Your productivity, those types of things. And you want to start setting goals that help align towards both obtaining your company objectives, your employer's objectives, as well as those things that are going to align for you to be able to obtain your ultimate goal. Now, what do you do? What do you do if you're working in an engineering company and you want to become a nurse? I laugh because I had an employee that's what his goal was. He wanted to become a nurse. He just he had a passion for actually helping, you know, the healing process and so forth, and wanted to even become a physician's assistant. I have no idea where he's ended up, but he ended up leaving. And sometimes you can utilize, you know, your employment and align some of your things, but sometimes your alignment goes 180 out from what you were doing, from your ultimate goal to what your career path is. That is one of the reasons why people understand that jobs are stepping stones and are, you know, there's no such thing as a a living wage, that there has to be incentives for you to be able to get to where you want to be. And to be honest with you, This young man was able to use and utilize good creative or creating effective objectives and goals in his life. And, you know, in working with him, he was able to actually move away into a nursing program and so forth. And so when he did that, he saved up his money to do that. And then he literally, you know, resigned and went off to do that. Anyway, in setting your tactical goals, because now that you understand your strategic goals, those aren't going to change, right? The tactical goals have to be a little dynamic, and they have to be able to meet your objectives over the course of the year, over the course of months. Things change. You may be moved and taken for because of your productivity, because of your skills or what have you. You may be moved from one program to another. So in other words, when you start sitting down and trying to figure out your goals, you can't necessarily plan for the dynamic. So you actually have to start doing some real honest self-assessments. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to identify where your shortfalls are. If you lie to yourself, then you have done yourself the greatest disservice, because you will not be successful in your goals. So you've got to be really honest in where your shortfalls are in your core competencies. These shortfalls, should become objectives. You should have shortfall objectives that should be a single objective or a few skill competencies that you are not able to perform at your current level within your current job. This would help, you know, raise yourself in what I call difficulty ratings. You know, as you become a more skilled software engineer or skilled sysadmin or so forth, you're going to start raising the difficulty ratings of what you can do with your core competencies. So if you start understanding what you're doing, then maybe what you want to do is there may be one particular thing that you're weak on, that you just have a lot of, you know, core competencies that just aren't good in that one thing, whether that be framing, whether that be system administration, whatever it is. Then work on all of those in that one thing. You may have a lot of shortfalls across the board, but try to bring up one side of your core competencies in the year by focusing and learning. And I'm going to tell you this, when you start going through the processes of whatever it is you're doing, if it lends to it, document it, because when you're doing something, there's a good chance you're going to have to do it again. And if you write it down how you did that, then you can go back to your notes and go, oh, yeah, I remember how I did that, because it may be a few months. Documentation is your friend. Take a minute out, because it will literally save you the amount of time that you took to document what you did and to capture the process or whatever. Down the road, 6 months from now, or whatever it is, when that time comes, it'll be so much faster for you to just refamiliarize yourself by looking at the documentation and then going and doing it than trying to figure out how you did it again. I can tell you that the young man typically just hacks away and does that. And in my experience in management and leadership, older people tend to get the fact that documentation actually helps them become more efficient when they have to come back and do something that they don't do that often. There's a lot of times they're just not going to let you do something. You can only install that type of window once on that house. Your employer is not going to let you rip it out and do it again and do it again until, yeah, I think I got a good shot at this. So as you can tell, like I said, I was going to run out of time. And so with that, we'll get back to how to set these tactical goals and then do the analysis at the year end and so forth. But we'll get into that all tomorrow. I hope you have a great New Year's Day. God bless what's left of it. And we will see you tomorrow. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.